Book of John, chapter 10, and reading verses 7 through 9 as we continue to go through the series of messages, Christ the I Am. And if you're taking notes, this would be what I would consider part 2. John chapter 10, verses 7 through 9. Scripture says, "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Father, I come to you again, Lord, thanking you for your blessings upon us. I thank you again, Lord, for just the ability to be able to assemble in your house. God, I pray that as I go through this message this morning that you would give me the words that you would have me to say. I pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit, that each and everything said and done will bring honor and glory to you and the accomplishment of your will through your word. And it's in Jesus Christ's name that I ask it. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. I actually noted that wrong. It's actually supposed to be 7 through 10. But so last time we discussed, again, as I stated, the series of messages that I'm going through right now are messages that are entitled Christ the I Am. And we started off with a message entitled The One Given, and we spoke about the scripture Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, where we learn that God is wonderful, He is Counselor, He is the Mighty God, He is the Prince of Peace, He is the Everlasting Father. And one thing to keep in mind, as I mentioned in that message, as well as the last message, is that God is these things. He is the very essence of these things. Our Holy Spirit, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, has always existed. He's always been wonderful. He's always been Counselor. He's always been the Mighty God. He's always been the Everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. He's always been these things. He is the very essence of these things. We have stated time and time again that He's not called these things because of what He did when He came to earth. He was called these things when He came to earth because of who He is. And that's probably one of the most important things that we can remember as we go through this series. And as I've told you before, I feel like that as we move through this, the better we have of an understanding of who Jesus Christ is, the more we can appreciate the Christmas season, the more we can appreciate the fact that God sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. And again, we started out talking last week of the Christ the I Am, stating, "I am the bread of life," in John chapter 6, verse 35. I told you Jesus is the sustenance of eternal life, meaning He is what will sustain us in eternity. He has the power, and He alone, to give us life and to give us eternal life in Christ. Meaning that He and only He can sustain it. He is the only one who has the power to give eternal life and has power over death and hell as well. He quickens us from a state of spiritual death. He gives to us life. And if we partake of the bread that He offers, we will never hunger again. And that was the main idea of the last week's message, is that if we partake of the bread that He gives to us, if we partake of the water of life that He offers to us freely, if we partake of Him, we will never thirst or hunger again. And what that literally means is that we will never have a desire for anything outside of Christ. There'll be no need for anything else outside of Him in His eternity. He will be what is allowing for us to be sustained. We also spoke about Christ stating in John chapter 8, verse 12, that I am the light of the world, meaning that he is the one who shines as a light in the darkness. He is the one who reveals sin and discovers our transgressions, showing us the darkness within. He is the one that brings these things to light, as the saying goes. Who leads us out of darkness. He's the one who gives us the ability to navigate through life and avoid the pitfalls we would otherwise not be able to see. Those of you that wasn't here Sunday night doesn't know or understand maybe a little bit about what it is that I'm saying here, because you wasn't here to hear the rest of the story. I told you if you wanted to know the rest of the story that you needed to be here.
Amen.
But we talked about Jesus being the light of the world. And this week we're going to continue our study of who Christ is. I also stated having a better understanding of Christ. Again, it brings us to the understanding and importance of the Christmas season. I can better appreciate John 3:16 if I know who Christ is.
Amen.
I can better appreciate that, and I can better appreciate the fact that 2 Corinthians 5:21, which tells us that he was made to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I can better understand that and appreciate that, give reverence to God in that manner, if I know who Christ is. And so that is the purpose. That's the plan of this, is not only to prepare us to have a wonderful Christmas, not only to prepare us to have a wonderful sense of who Christ is that came and was born in the manger, but our relationship with him, to grow in our relationship with him. So first and foremost, in John chapter 10, verses 7 through 9, Jesus says, I am the door. He says, I am the door. And the reference here is made of the parable that's spoken in verses 1 of the chapter through the scripture that I've read, and it's an explanation of this parable. Christ our Lord is the entrance into the fold of God. He is the entrance. And by that, it means that there is no other entrance.
Amen.
There is no other way to get into the fold. I want to read this to you briefly and listen as I read this in verses 1 through 7. But he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. And this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what the things they were which he spake unto them. So that brings us to our focal passage this morning, when he says, Jesus said unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. So what did he mean by that when he says, I am the door of the sheep? Well, in an attempt to explain what he had already told them through the parable, he spoke and he explained to them that I am the passage way. I am the way into the fold. I am the entrance, I am the door, I am the way. Now, in understanding a little bit about how the sheepfold was, especially the Jews and how they did this, the shepherd would build a somewhat of a corral. It would consist of rocks or other forms of material in order to build up a wall. A wall that would be high enough that they didn't have to worry so much about critters getting in, and they would allow for one passageway. The interesting thing about that passageway is that it was just wide enough for the sheep to go into and nothing else really. The interesting thing about the passageway was it was just enough room to allow the shepherd to sit or to sleep in the way, in order to prevent any of the sheep from coming out, but also to prevent any of the enemy from coming in, whether it been wolves or bears or whatever it is that may be coming after the sheep. This allowed for them to be protected. So he says, continuing, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." Jesus says, "Truly, truly," or "this is a very true statement that I say to you." And here's the interesting thing about that. When you study what it says, when it says "verily, verily," or "truly, truly," it literally means that the one that is stating this has the authority, has the knowledge, the wisdom, and the ability to be able to pronounce what it is that's going to be said. In other words, when Christ says, "Verily, verily," he says, "You can trust me in what it is that I'm telling you. This is the truth. This is the very truth of the matter. You can trust me because I have the knowledge. You can trust me because I have the authority to say what it is that I'm about to say. You can trust me because I have wisdom, not only of this situation, but above and beyond that of any man, of what it takes to come into the fold of God." So when he states this, it's a statement that is stamped with the approval of God Almighty. You can understand this and apply this because it is truth. Whether you believe it or not, it does not change the truth. We live in a society full of people today that think, for whatever reason, that if I don't believe it, it doesn't necessarily make it true. Well, when we stand before God, unbeknownst to them and a lot of them in the world, it does not matter what you believe. The only thing that matters is what is truth. Amen. I used to tell my children, and I still to this day, I tell anyone who I find that has a desire to argue the truth. And what I mean by that is all out argument, fighting and fussing about the truth. The truth does not have to be argued. The truth stands alone. Amen. It doesn't have to be proven because it is the truth. We don't have to prove Jesus Christ. He didn't tell us to go out and prove him. He told us to go out and preach the gospel message about him. Amen. The truth stands in and of itself. It is what it is. And whether we believe it or not, he says this, "I am the door of the sheep." Just because there are people that doesn't believe that doesn't make their belief true. There's a lot of people that say, "Well, that's what you believe, but this is what I believe." Well, only one can be true. I choose to trust the truth of the Bible. I choose to trust what's written in the Scripture because I've yet to find fault or fallacy in it. It is the truth. So this was the main point of all things Christ said here, and people as then as well as today need to understand it doesn't matter the opinion. It doesn't matter what the world tells us. God's ways, his commands, his rules, his judgment, his chastisement or punishment, it is still perfect righteousness. It is still just in all ways. And because it is him who has revealed it, we know it is truth. We know that it is truth. He says, "I am the door of the sheep." So Jesus makes it clear here by using this illustration that none other than the sheep come in by this door. None other than the sheep come in by this door. Not the dogs, not the wolves, not the goats, not the horses, but the sheep. It is the sheep that enters in through this door. It is his children that enter in through this door. Here referring to none other being able to pass through him into the kingdom of God except those he allows to enter in. When he says in John 14:6, as we've said time and time again through this series of messages, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me," he is literally saying or reiterating this, that I am the door. Not only am I the door, I am the entrance. I am the passageway. There's no other way to get into the fold. There's no other way. He doesn't allow any other to come in, and it is through him that the sheep are blessed in the fold of God. Meaning we partake of the blessings of God, his grace, his mercy, his righteousness, his forgiveness, his peace, his eternal life, the feasts, the shelter, the security, the assurance. And to be in the presence of God himself, we are able to partake of these things through Christ and Christ alone. There is no other. So when we know this and when we become understanding of this, again, it helps us to appreciate when the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten son. It literally means that he provided us with the passage. He provided us with the way of coming into the fold of God, to becoming one of the sheep. As he says here, I am the door of the sheep. I'm not the door of anything outside of that, of the world. I'm not the one that the dogs are going to come in through. I'm not the one that the goats are going to come in through. And the Bible talks about in the end time, the separation of the lambs from the goats. The idea here is that there is only one that's going to enter in, and that is his children and his children alone. Now, there are those in the world that'll say about the ones who have adamantly denied Christ and that they have rebelled against him their entire lives. And when they pass away, for some reason, they just magically think that they're in heaven. And the scripture says, no, that is not the case. There's only one going to enter in, and that's the sheep. There's only one going to enter in, and that's the ones that Christ has allowed to come through the fold, or the passage into the fold. Verse 8, it says, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. All that ever come before me are thieves and robbers. This is not to be understood as speaking of the prophets of old. Don't misunderstand this. It's not to say the ones that come before him that were preparing the way for him. It's not talking about Moses and Elijah and Daniel and Jeremiah, Isaiah, all of these others who preceded Christ in his earthly living and as a form of a man. But it's speaking about those false prophets who came. It's speaking about the false prophets and were not sent of God and didn't come in by the door. It's speaking of the shepherds of Israel who fed themselves and not the flock. Is speaking of the ones who claimed and professed themselves to be the shepherds of the people, but they put themselves above the people of God. He's referring to the ones that Jesus says were thieves and robbers are the ones that stole from the message. And still to this day, we still see the very same thing. If you'll remember, last week we talked about it in John chapter 6, verse 34, the verse prior to the scripture that we focused on, that these were those who were chasing bread to fill their bellies. It didn't have anything to do with spirituality. It didn't have anything to do with eternal life. It didn't have anything to do with the fact that they were trying to have a better relationship with God, or that they were trying to worship and to serve him. It was simply, hey, this guy was able to duplicate bread. We saw it. He fed 5,000 people out of a basket. If we follow him, he's going to provide all of our wants. All we have to do is trust in him and follow him, and he's going to pay our bills for us. All we have to do is trust in him and follow him, and he's going to make us prosper. And this is not what Jesus taught. We live in a world today that pushes the idea of prosperity in the church. The idea that if you're a Christian, that God's going to make you rich. You're going to live in a mansion. You're going to drive the best cars. You're going to have the finest suits. You're going to have the best there is on this earth. And Jesus did not come for that purpose. Verse 8, continuing, it says, but the sheep did not hear them. Notice this, because this is the difference in the world and the true followers of Christ. It says, the sheep did not hear them. These didn't listen to the false prophets. These didn't listen to the false teachers and the idol shepherds, as they're called. They didn't receive their doctrines and they didn't follow their practices. See, there are a lot of people today that can't understand why it is that we have people that preach and teach that you are going to be a millionaire if you trust in Christ. And then there's yet others that preach and teach as Jesus did when he said the foxes have holes and the birds have nests, but I don't even have a place to lay my head. And they can't understand why it is that this is the way things are. Well, the reason this is because the true followers of Christ know better. They know the truth. And again, we're not standing on the corner and yelling and professing that Jesus is going to make me poor. I don't necessarily believe that. I believe if it's within his will and he has a purpose and a plan for you that involves you being poor, guess what? You're going to be poor.
Amen.
We're poor as beggars, but we're rich as kings.
Amen.
And that's the idea. It's not possible for them to be totally deceived or carried away with the lies of the wicked. Why? Because they are the sheep of his fold, and when he calls to them, they hear his voice. They recognize him as Lord and Savior. In John chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, it says, "And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." For they know his voice. "And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." Jesus said, this is the reason why some of you scribes and Pharisees will follow me and others will not. This is the reason why some of you will be saved and others will not. This is the reason why when the Holy Spirit convicts some, that they come to a saving knowledge of Christ and others rebel against him. Because they have no desire to be a part of his fold. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." It is through the person of Jesus Christ that we are born again. It is through the drawing of the Holy Spirit that we come to salvation, through the preaching and teaching of the gospel.
Amen.
Verse 9 says, "I am the door. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." "I am the door," being repeated for further confirmation and for the sake of introducing what's next. "If any man enter in." Notice it doesn't say when any man enters in. It says if any man enter in. Meaning any man comes into the church by grace through faith, or come into the family of God by grace through faith, he shall be saved. Not that being a part of the church saves you, but that being saved by going through the door.
Amen.
Being saved by going through the door. Jesus Christ places you in the fold of God, which is security, which is peace, which is comfort, which is love, and a home with him forever. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18, it says, "For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." Through him, Jesus Christ, access by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, through the preaching and the teaching of the gospel. Continuing in verse 9, it says, "And shall go in and out and find pasture." Not suggesting that we can enter into the family of God and leave and then come back again. That's not what it's saying at all. But suggesting that in Christ they pass through him as the door. And into the fold, and when released back into the world, figuratively of course, they are forever changed. They're a different creation. Forever changed and now blessed and being led into the best pastures and being led by the best shepherd. There will be no more wandering in search of good doctrines because we've been exposed to the truth. There will be no wondering of wisdom because we know He is wisdom. There will be no searching for counsel because we know He is the counselor. There will be no understanding of life outside of Christ because we know He is life. And because a good shepherd will provide this for His sheep, we know that as sheep of His, we partake of these things. Verse 10, it says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." In other words, the false prophets, the workers of Satan and his iniquities, have come to steal from your pockets and your spirituality and destroy your life through sin. These are the false prophets that the Bible speaks of. These are the ones that the Scripture tells us to mark them and avoid them. That we're to have nothing to do with them. Why? Because their sole purpose is to destroy. Amen. Their sole purpose is to preach and to teach that which is false, that will bring a man to his knees. Which brings us to the next I am statement in verse 11. He says, "I am the good shepherd." I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. So the focus changes here in the text from being the door into the fold to being the one who protects and lays down himself for the sake of the sheep. Of course, Christ means the spiritual death more so than a physical one here, but like the shepherd would put himself and his staff between the sheep and a wolf or a bear or a lion or any other danger to the sheep, as I spoke about earlier, our God, on behalf of our eternal destination, gave us Christ, who puts himself in between us and danger. He puts himself and his cross between us and sin. He is our deliverer. Amen. He has delivered us out from the presence of the enemy. He stands between us and the roaring lion who walketh about seeking whom he may devour, that old serpent, the devil, Satan. Between us and spiritual death, between us and the lake of fire and brimstone, according to the Scripture. In Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 23, it says, "And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David, he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd." Who is he referring to when he says "there"? He's not referring to his neighbor's sheep. He's not referring to those that are in the world. He's referring to those which are his. And his come in one way. Amen. Through Jesus Christ. His sheep come in through the passage. So in verse 14 he says, "I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine." Meaning I know their hearts, their wishes, their plans, their circumstances. I approve of each one of them. Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ approves of you? Aren't you glad that when you stand before God, that it's because you have went through the passageway, that His blood covers you, and when you stand before the Father, He's not going to see you, who would He disapprove of, but He's going to see Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb of God, whom He approves of. Amen. And they know me as their Father. They know me as their protector. They know me as their Savior. They publicly profess me and my truth. They approve of me and my word and my ordinances and my people. And they show this by their devotion to me. They show this by their obedience to Christ. You want to know a sure way to know if a person is born again? Their obedience to God. Amen. Their obedience to God. Here's the reason why. Because we know Him, and because that we know Him and are His sheep, we're going to follow Him. Because He is our shepherd. Those that claim to be of the fold and don't follow the shepherd, something's wrong.
Amen.
Something's wrong. Because he tells us here, my sheep know my voice. I know them and they know me. And because they know my voice, they follow me. I have a really hard time with somebody saying, oh, I'm a child of God, but yet they do nothing that the Bible commands. They don't follow the commands of God. They don't follow the Scripture. They don't follow the things that He has said is pertinent and most important in our lives in order for us to maintain a wonderful relationship with Him. He says, I am the door. Did y'all know that there's no other way to get into this building other than going through the door?
Amen.
The only other way is to become a thief or a robber. According to what the Scripture says, there is no other way in. All others are thieves and robbers. The only other way to get in is to bust out the window. Break down the wall. But if you have access through the door, you don't have to do those things, do you? That's the idea. That's the idea. Jesus says, if you want to be in the fold, if you want to be a part of the family of God, if you want to access the wonderful things that He has for you, if you want to go into the greener pastures, if you want to live a life that's pleasing to Him, if you want eternal life with Him in heaven, you got to go through the doorway. Let's all stand at this time for invitation.